This is the Insight segment. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HRR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. So, you're interested in working in the entertainment industry, but you're not sure how to break in. Simply, you don't know the ins and outs. Well, tonight we're here to tell you all the things you need to know about working in the entertainment field. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Hopefully more good than the bad and the ugly. The phone lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight here to lead us in this conversation, the expert in the house, is Sharmell McMillan. She's the president and CEO of Shartown Entertainment and author of Just One Thing. So if you are interested in working in the entertainment industry, if you are in the entertainment industry and you want to know how do I do it better, Sharmell is here to tell you how. Again, we want to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. We're here to talk about all things entertainment. So Sharmell McMillan, president and CEO of Shartown Entertainment, an author of Just One Thing.
Yes.
And what were you, valedictorian in your class you were telling
me? I was.
I just want to make sure everybody knows how smart you are.
I was a nerd, baby.
But that's all right. And you've got a book to prove it. Now tell us, if you want to be in the entertainment industry, how do you get in? Where do you start?
I really think that sometimes people want to be in there because of the money and the fame and all of the perks that go with being successful in the entertainment industry. I don't know if they want the long hours, the sleepless nights, your mama praying for you and not coming home and not having a family and losing your family because you've been working on. I don't know if they want that part. And it all goes hand in hand often when you're doing that climb mm-hmm. of being successful in anything, but especially entertainment, because you have to reach out to the world. That means you have to connect with the world. That means you're on continuous travel. And so always making moves. So social media, I mean, a lot of times you have these social media sensations. That's not the answer, because likes don't equate to money. So you still got to make moves. You still got to put time in. You still got to hone your talent. You still got to work hard. You still have to learn your craft. You still have to perfect stage time. You still have to know what it means to be on the business side where the money is made, so you can make sure the people around you are doing what you need them to do. So it's not a, I want to be a star.
But is it a lot easier, because you hit that social media thing.
Yes.
Is it a lot easier to be a star nowadays with social media, with reality TV? Kim Kardashian was at the White House yesterday, Sharmell.
She was.
All right. Now, we see that, and we know how her where her stardom came from, right?
Yes.
So you're saying likes don't matter.
Well, they do matter, but they're not the equivalent of money. Mm-hmm. So there's still work to be done.
So you're talking about making a living also, not yes. just being famous or having
yes.
notoriety.
Social media makes it a lot easier to become popular. There's still work to be done. You still have to have a plan. You still have to work that plan. And so Kim is very successful, but everyone's not going to follow her path. There's already a Kim Kardashian. And so everyone's not going to be on that path. There's always an exception to the rule. Mm-hmm. And typically the extremely successful people and the people you see in front of the camera are the exception to the rule.
So
because they are the celebrities. So you can count those people on, you know, two hands, the people at the top of any given industry.
But most people, I would expect, when you say, do you want to work in the entertainment industry, or they tell you that they want mm-hmm. to work in it, you're talking about people who want to be in front of the camera.
Yes.
I would think it is not made, the entertainment industry, for everyone.
No.
Right? So who is the prototypical person that you would say, Sharmell, that should pursue working in the entertainment industry? What do you have to be successful within?
Within? I talk about, in my book, I talk about purpose. And I think when you embrace your purpose, purpose isn't what you want to give the world. It's not what you want to spoon feed them. Purpose is what people innately and mindlessly respond to about you. Some people call it the it factor. And it doesn't have to just be entertainment, but that is imperative for entertainment, that you have that it factor, that thing that people mindlessly respond to about you. I think that is the baseline for launching your destiny.
How should you start to get in? you know, when I started in broadcasting, I was an intern.
Right.
Unpaid. Maybe you got credit in college. Sometimes I didn't. You know, you come in and you do the grunt work. Is it the same thing for the entertainment industry? And does it depend on what you want to do in the industry?
It depends on what you want to do. Many people want to be, you know, the person holding the mic. So it's imperative that you develop your talent, that you create a platform. Social media has made it easier to become known, to become popular, to get people's attention, even other celebrities. But still, in that, you still need to plan and what you want to have happen next. You know, what your vision is of where you want to go. Are you trying to use that vehicle to take you to TV, film, comedy, singing? What are you using that platform for? So not just the likes. You want to have a plan, what next? So once you get all that attention, what are you going to do with it?
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about breaking into the entertainment industry. In terms of where you start, do I have to go to New York? Do I need to go to L.A.? Or can I, if I want to be a comedian, I find the club here somewhere in D.C., maybe out somewhere in Glen Burnie, and go out and perfect my craft? Or do I need to be in the big city to be discovered?
People move in droves to L.A., and the talent is mind-boggling in Los Angeles and New York and some of the entertainment meccas, if you will. It's like bringing a cup of sand to the beach. I mean, because whatever is hot here, it's 1,000 people with that same gift in Hollywood. You know, 1,000 people with a dream, 1,000 people with, you know, a plan of being the next. And so I say that it helps to travel, to be mobile, to, you know, perform as much as you can in different places. But I wouldn't make that huge move until you have a reason to stay, a reason to be there nonstop. The relationships, the networking is unmatched in some of these cities, New York and LA specifically. But it's expensive. The reality is a lot of people are living out of their cars. They can't afford to be there. Their feelings get hurt because they don't realize how huge it is. They come thinking, as soon as they see me, week one, it's going to happen. I'm popping. And so that's not how it happens. There's always exceptions to the rules. But for the most part, that's just not how it happens. There are people who have been there for 10, 15 years, still trying to get an opportunity, still trying to get an opening. And until you see it, you don't realize how massive it is and how many people are there. You know, I'm not trying to diminish dreams, but give people a realistic outlook on what to expect. And so if you are super talented and you live in Birmingham, Alabama, everybody in Birmingham should know who you are. And then make moves to come to D.C. for a couple of shows, or make moves to go here if you're doing the traditional route. Or if you have an antidote and there's something you can put on social media where you can get mass attention, then use that vehicle to make you popular. So now you can better negotiate yourself into openings.
So in short,
that makes sense.
Yeah, in short, you know, be a big fish in a little pond first if you can be.
If you can, if you don't have a vehicle like social media working for you where you're capturing that, you know, mass attention.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. We've got Mike who's calling from D.C. Mike, go right ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, I wanted to say it's an honor to talk with you. I wanted to ask the question, like, I've been, you know, doing the music for quite some time. I've even been to WOL. We had a little interview up there. But my main question is the radio. I mean, I believe publishing and things like that is very, very important, just as well as being a performer. But to get into a rotation on the stations, that's a very, very, you know, powerful thing, because actually the radio stations touch the community, so that.
So, Mike, I just want to sort of drill down a little bit. So, did you have a question for Sharmell, or you're saying that to move about? Go right ahead.
Yeah, the question was basically, how do you attack the radio in a way as you will be able to get the necessary exposure, you know, for people and listeners to hear you and just know where to go purchase.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
Well, Mike, back in the day, I owned a record label, and so I was very adept with negotiating with radio and getting airplay and coming with creative ways to, you know, meet with music directors and program directors in terms of letting them hear the music and trying to at least get in the local rotation. However, times have changed. That was over 20 years ago. Times have changed, so there are other ways to get your music out, and I don't know what age bracket you fall into, but whether you're 20 or whether you're 40, social media is something that you have to embrace and utilize as an artist, because there is a high competition between the new artists and the, you know, young teeny boppers and rising social media sensations and those who are seasoned artist and utilizing that platform. So if you're not down with social media and taking advantage of getting the attention of other people, then learn or get some people working with you to help you build your social media platform and have people sample or hear your music and try to build a following that way. And you can even tag radio personalities and radio people and news people into your videos that way. So there's a more direct approach in terms of even getting the attention, or at least letting them hear it.
Well, Mike, best of luck to you. And, you know, always send something here over to WHUR. Maybe the programmers will take a listen to it. We appreciate,
there you go.
We appreciate your phone call, Mike. Phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about breaking into the entertainment industry. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm is next with Jeff Brown. Again, talking about the entertainment industry, 202-319-7810. We'll be back right after this break. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HRR Voices, SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're talking about getting your foot in the door in the entertainment industry. It is a tough business, but obviously someone has to get in, and some people do. The key is, what do you do to make it in? What's the template, and is there one, or does it depend on the person, your drive, your perseverance? We're talking about breaking into the entertainment industry tonight. Our guest is Sharmell McMillan. She's the president and CEO of Shartown Entertainment. She's also the author of Just One Thing. We'd like to hear from you, your questions. How do you get in? If you're in, how have you stayed in? And if you've been successful, what's been the keys for you? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sharmell, we've talked about sort of getting in, and I want to get more specific, too, about the jobs that are out there for folks outside of being in front of the camera or being in front of the microphone. But like any of these industries where it's hot and cold, should you have a plan B, or should you just go all in and not sort of put a plan B because it makes you feel like I've got to fall back and I won't push as hard as I have to?
Huh, that's a loaded question.
I know. Well, it's almost like, right, if I knew I can go back home, you know, maybe I'll hold on to this job, maybe I won't. But if you go straight forward, maybe you're thinking it's all or nothing. So what which works best?
I don't know if there's a blueprint for each, you know, that's across the board. Mm-hmm. But I would say that if you have nothing on the line, then there's nothing in jeopardy. So it's very difficult to devote a level of seriousness and peril to your situation, where failure is not an option because the mortgage won't get paid. Failure is not an option. For me, failure is not an option, even 20 years in the game, because this is my livelihood. This is what I do 24/7. You know, I travel nonstop. I'm constantly on the road. I'm constantly building new relationships. One thing that D.L. Hughley, who's one of my mentors I mentioned in the book, mm-hmm. taught me, if you ever stop being new, your career is over. So even though I've been in the game 20 years or more, relationships, you know, astounding level of relationships, I still keep my ear to the street. I still meet new artists. I still go to talent searches. I still go to talent showcases. I'm still dropping by radio to see who's in charge now. The same people from 10 years ago aren't here. Mm-hmm. So you have to constantly stay new. You have to constantly stay informed, constantly stay connected. I have to embrace social media, even though I'm old school of writing letters and calling and, you know, all of that emailing. But you have to embrace social media and utilize what's now. Mm. So
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. She is Sharmell McMillan. She is the president and CEO of Shartown Entertainment and, again, author of Just One Thing. We're talking about breaking into the entertainment industry. And once you're in, how do you stay in and stay successful? Let's go back to the phone lines. Anissa calling from the district. Go right ahead, Anissa.
Oh, hello. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I am an artist, an R&B entertainer here in the Washington, D.C. area. Mm-hmm. And I actually have a CD out as well as two newly released songs, singles. And WHUR has been kind enough to put one of my singles into rotation, mainly on The Quiet Storm. And so I am very grateful for that. And also I have music that's also in rotation on SiriusXM, Heart and Soul.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, how do one expound to get airplay outside of, you know, the area and to attract the attention to other program directors? And at what point do an artist such as myself, who has a little bit of traction in the, you know, on the radio stations and sort of, at what point should I obtain like a publicist or something like that?
Okay, well, the first part of your question, how do you go about breaking in outside of your market, your existing market of D.C.? I'm not sure how you did it for D.C., but I would say replicate that. If it's not broke, don't fix it. So use the same approach you use to get the attention of program and music directors here to give you some form of airplay. Use that in other markets. What, and even use it as a launching pad. I'm already in circulation in D.C. on XM Sirius and also on WHUR, Howard University Radio. And I would like to find out if I could, you know, get airplay on your station as well. So I would use that approach. You know, the same thing that got you in the door in your current market, it's hard to be king in your own land. So, you know, if you got airplay here, then use that to catapult you into other markets and build new relationships.
And thank you for that. And I often have touched in some other markets, mainly like the South and the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And the feedback that I've gotten, you know, in the past, this is great songs. You know, I don't have the room to add any additionals right now. You know, keep trying or let me know when you're in a heavier rotation and on WHUR, because WHUR, as you know, is a highly respected and influential adult contemporary station in which that's mainly the music that I, you know, my followers and that music that I create. So what they're telling me is that, okay, well, get some more traction, get in a heavier rotation, and then we'll consider it.
So
it's kind of like, you know, it's very frustrating, and you got to have a lot of money, you know, to market and campaign and that sort of thing.
Well, thank you so much, Anissa, for that, because I wanted to follow up on that. She hit that point about the money and
yes,
what you need, and should you be coming out of your own pocket? Are there other resources that you can tap into if you're a musical artist trying to make it, if you're somebody trying to break in commercials or TV, or, you know, even if it's behind the scenes? You mentioned folks are sleeping in their cars.
They are.
In New York and L.A., especially in L.A., because
of
the weather.
Especially
L.A., I guess,
the weather allows for it. New York does not allow for that.
It will allow you to do that. But I guess that's sort of part of plan B. And it sounds like from Anissa, she's got her sort of foot in the door, but
right,
yet she's hearing from other people saying, but you need a little bit more of this.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get around hearing all of those voices, different folks telling you different things? And I think it gets back to my original question. Does it take a certain person to be able to block that out and have their own focus in the direction that they want to go?
Oh, you have to have tunnel vision in terms of your goals in entertainment and really in life. I think that if you can be deterred by a no, to me, no means not right now, or, you know, ask a different way. It never means no.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've lived by that. So
I like
said,
that. Ask
oh,
a
maybe,
different way.
Maybe you didn't hear me the first time. Let me ask this differently. So, you know, tenacity is something that is essential to success. But also, I think it comes down, people talk about the money. Of course it takes money. It takes money to make money. When I was coming into the industry, and one of my mentors was Bob Johnson, who is former president and CEO of BET, And I asked him, how did you know BET was going to be a hit? How did you know it was going to work? When I met him, he was worth $700 million at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think they were about to celebrate their 15th anniversary. And he said there are three things necessary for a hit: the right timing, the right resources, and the right idea. So many people have great ideas, the timing is off, and they have zero resources to pull it off. Mm-hmm. And so they are just disgruntled and mad at, you know, D.C. has no love. I went to New York. New York has no. It might be the wrong timing, and you don't have any resources to help perpetuate that what you're trying to do. And by resource, I don't just mean money. I mean people who even believe in your dream, you know. But a lot of times people are looking for someone to fund something that they came up with their own head, and they're not willing to invest anything. You know, and they're mad that people are not cutting checks for them to make their dreams happen. If you won't cut a check for yourself, why would someone else cut a check?
Anissa, good luck with it. Looks like you're on the right road.
But are on the right road.
And we hope you continue on that road. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We want to hear from you, your stories, your struggles, your successes. We're talking about breaking into the entertainment industry and staying in it and being successful. Sharmell McMillan, she's the president and CEO of Shartown Entertainment. She's also the author of the book, Just One Thing. She's our guest tonight. Let's go back to the phone line. Marlon calling from the district. Go right ahead, Marlon.
Yes, I just wanted to say that, thank you once again for having me on.
You're welcome.
But I actually put out a record 30 years ago, and it's called You Want to Jam, You Want to Party. And I got a phone call last November somebody was listening to it over in the UK, and they were playing it a lot. And so they wanted to repress it. So they called me and we spoke about it. They repressed it, and the record is doing well overseas, and it's starting to pick up some stuff here in the United States. It was produced by Tony Cook, who was James Brown's drummer at the time. So the thing is doing well, and I want to say to people, you know, no matter what, I haven't made it to where I want to be, but you know, it's a blessing to know that you put out something 30 years ago, and the music was so far ahead of its game. They're saying that they re-released it.
Well, thank you so much for that call, Marlon. And it sounds like it's one, persistence. One, I don't want to use the word luck, but you just, does
destiny.
That back to timing?
Destiny.
Destiny
is when the unexpected meets the inevitable.
Right. So the timing of he's saying his music is now kind of, it's in. Now it's playing over in Europe.
Monte, what's really happening is Europe and other countries embrace Americana.
Mm-hmm.
The United States embraces the artists. So they fall in love with who's on stage. They want more of who's on stage. Mm-hmm. Europe and other countries, they want Americana. So if you made anything since the 70s to now, they are with it. And it is timeless for them because it's a fraction of Americana that they embrace. So people go over there and do extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they ever had a hit or almost a hit, they do very well in Europe because they want a piece of Americana. They're not even really concerned. They're concerned with the art. People here are concerned with the artist. And that's why talent doesn't equal butts in seats. And so there are so many talented people, exceptionally talented, ridiculously talented people who have zero fans.
But that's also where the frustration, I would think,
yes,
comes in this industry, right?
Yes.
You're looking around going, well, wait, this person can't even sing.
Yes.
I can't get a
yes
record deal.
But it takes more than talent. You know, it's a whole machine that makes you a commodity, that makes you a product.
So some person may have the talent in knowing how to draw in those listeners, how
yeah
to draw in
or
an audience.
Or something about them that people gravitate to mindlessly.
Factor.
What I talked about in terms of purpose is that mindless thing that people respond to. Take a step back. It might be baking cakes, but you want to be Beyonce. So mm-hmm now you're mad that DC has no love about your singing, but everybody's asking you at the church to bake cakes. You could be an international baker and travel the world and make more money than an artist, but you don't want to bake. And what people love you for, you want to sing, and you've decided that's your destiny. And when people don't respond to what you decided, now you're mad.
Oh, 202 319 213-319-7810. You're speaking too much truth here. 213-319-7810. She is Charmel McMillan, president and CEO of Shartown Entertainment and author of Just One Thing. We're talking about breaking into the entertainment industry. We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. Now, listen, I said something earlier about the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so we know in any industry, you've got a little bit of everything. And you've worked with a lot of folks. You've got this book. You talk about the people you've worked with. Now, I want you to give me, you don't have to give me names, but if you want to, you can.
You can drop a couple of, you know, a little tea.
Yeah. Tell me the good and whatever you, however you want to call it, bad or ugly, that the good that you've worked with and what makes he or she good, if you want to do individuals.
I don't know if I've just been extremely blessed or I'm the exception to the rule, but I've had a really great run in entertainment. The relationships have been unmatched, and the reception I get nationwide has been more than a blessing. But I think that, and that goes back to purpose. You know, I left my six-figure engineering job to go into entertainment because I felt like God told me entertainment is your arena. And so I took my leap of faith. And the book talks about once you embrace the reason you were created, that thing people have been responding to about you all along, that's when the just one thing start to happen, where one moment, one unexpected phone call, one chance meeting can change your life forever. The unexpected started to happen as soon as I embraced the reason I was created. It's not entertainment for everyone, but for me it was.
All right, we're going to talk about whether or not this is for you like it is for Charmel, meaning the entertainment industry, and more specifically, what are some of those jobs behind the scenes that are available to folks who aren't thinking about that? Either they can use it as a jump-off point to where they eventually want to get, or maybe it's something that they find out, hey, I like doing this instead of being out in front of the camera or behind the mic. So we're talking about breaking into the entertainment industry. The phone lines are still open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be right back after this timeout. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HRR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Hey, listen, there are a lot of folks out there, right, who are interested in working in the entertainment industry. You think you have some talent, you're funny, you can sing, you're good at lighting, you want to produce movies, you want to be a director, but you aren't sure how you get into that industry. Basically, you don't know the ins and outs. And tonight we're talking about those ins and outs and more. How to break into the entertainment field. Our guest in studio tonight is Charmel McMillan. She's the president and CEO of Shartown Entertainment and author of Just One Thing. Our phone lines are open. We'd want to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Charmel, tell us about the book, Just One Thing. Just One Thing what? What is that title about?
Just One Thing is based on the premise that wherever you find yourself in life, one chance meeting, one unexpected opportunity, even a surprise phone call can at any given moment change your life forever. But it's also based on the principle, I believe, that you're always one degree of separation away from whatever you need, whoever you need to know, whatever needs to happen when you're in line with your purpose, meaning you've embraced the reason you're created and what people mindlessly respond to about you. You are always surrounded by what you need to accomplish while you're here. And so I wanted to try to help people, even though it's written from the standpoint of my journey. It's a very relatable thing because it talks about the highs, the lows, the frustrations, the times where I jumped out on faith and I wanted to jump back real quick, but I was in line with what I was supposed to be doing. And so the unexpected continually happened. Every chapter is a defining moment. Every chapter is where one thing changes everything suddenly. And so it's designed to encourage people to even look at their own journey more closely and really get what you came to get. You know, embrace your purpose and start to capitalize on that.
And you're going to be using this book this summer. Yes. You're going to be one of the featured authors, right, at the NAACP convention.
At the NAACP convention, yes.
In San Antonio. And what will that be like for you? I know you've probably done these things before.
Yes.
But how does that help those out there who may be at that convention for something else, and they see you on that podium and you're talking about just one thing. And to your point, you're not just talking about breaking into the entertainment industry,
no,
but this is your vocation, right?
Right.
But at that convention, what does that do for you and even people who are at the convention when you're talking about this book and sort of what it takes to be prepared for those opportunities?
Well, you know, some of the letters I've gotten were that the book is life-changing because it forces people to look at their own lives in a different way. Take that step back and find out what people respond to about you. I'm hoping that as I continue to travel throughout the summer, including the NAACP convention, that I'm able to share with people some of my journey and some of the unthinkable things. I was the most unlikely person to end up in entertainment. It's not a natural progression. Like I said, I was an engineer. So my 3 degrees are in engineering, and contract law was my concentration.
So why'd you switch?
It was a divine revelation. It was like an epiphany. Like, you're not supposed to be doing engineering. Entertainment is your arena. And I honestly just believe God. I don't subscribe that people should believe as I believe. I just know what I know. But the book is not just about that. It's about how when I took a step back, this has been orchestrated all along. I'm just in line with my purpose now. I'm just living my destiny. So it was a series of events that happened looking back, and I thought that they might encourage people to look at their own lives and see what's been around you all along. You know, you're always being propelled to why you're here.
What kind of jobs are in the entertainment industry that people don't think about that are out there that they can either use as a jumping point mm-hmm. to maybe what they want to do, or jobs that they may get into and say, hey, you know, I kind of like this, but folks may not know about them?
People really want to make money, and the money is made oftentimes behind the scenes. So even when I go to the movies, I sit and read the credits because I want to know who's really working. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just know who starred in the movie, but you'd be surprised who's writing, who's producing, who's executive producing, who's, you know, doing talent exec work on projects, TV shows.
Technical jobs, grips,
yeah.
Key grips.
Grips. Mm-hmm. Music, you know, wrote the score. I mean, so people are multitasking in this industry to keep checks coming, you know. So it's not just about holding the mic and the world loving you and knowing you. The real goal is most people want to make money, and they want to be okay to take care of themselves and or their family. So multitask and develop other gifts and use other things. Like, you know, maybe you're not supposed to be Beyonce. Maybe you should be writing for Beyonce. Maybe you should be a dancer. Maybe you should be a costume designer. Maybe you should be helping with the music score, helping design sets, you know, those things. And so there's so many careers out there, so many ways to make real money in this industry. Get to know the business side as well. You know, maybe you're supposed to be managing. Maybe you're not even supposed to be singing. Maybe you're not supposed to be telling a joke. Maybe you're supposed to be helping someone else live out their dream and getting a percentage of what they do.
Speaking of management, first, 202-319-7810. We still have a few moments left if you want to get in a quick call, question, or comment. 202-319-7810. Back to the management issue. This week, Roseanne Barr, blowing up. Big star. She's made millions of dollars. She doesn't need the money. But a lot of these actors that came back on her reboot show maybe hadn't been around for
hadn't
a while.
Well, Lori, since the last Roseanne.
Yeah, Lori Metcalf, she's worked. But, you know, maybe the young son and maybe the oldest daughter that we don't see anymore, John Goodman, is around. But even the technical people back there, those are jobs. If you were, say, managing these folks, how would you handle, let's say, Roseanne, if she was your client? How would you handle her? Because there's some folks out there who may want to be you in the entertainment industry, work with these people. You're the manager. You're the agent. How would you deal with Roseanne and what went down?
I think at some point you're not managing a career. You're managing a personality that's out of control. And so that is very difficult to bridle. You know, so when a person no longer has a need to, you know, go beyond where they've already gone, and there's a sense of entitlement where I can say what I want to say, do what I want to do, that's very hard to manage. You know,
you may be able to be a business manager, financial advisor, but can you really manage that career and advise them, and they're going to take your advisement? Because that's really the job of a manager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think I personally wouldn't want that job, you know, and so I don't know a lot of people who would want to be a personal manager, you know, to someone who is, you know, larger than life and making huge missteps that impact others.
Does everyone who is in the entertainment industry need an agent or a manager or both? And are they one and the same? I'm asking you a two-part question. Do you need one or the other? And is a manager and an agent the same thing?
Managers and agents are not the same thing. People throw around the term, I need a manager. Even if they've only told one joke, sung one song, I need a manager, I need a team. No, you need to hone your craft and develop a business base so there's something to manage. So if you can't keep up with one booking a year, then there's a problem. When you start to get booked constantly, when you start to bring in financial remuneration for your work, now it's time for management. Now it's time for someone to help sculpt your career in a meaningful way, because you are a product. You have a business base. So you're not just doing one-offs.
So what's the difference between having a manager and an agent? And I take it most successful artists have both.
Right. Well, ideally, a manager is part of your team. They're the other part of you. So they hone and guide your career, help negotiate deals on your behalf from a very hands-on standpoint, working directly with the artist. There are business managers who may handle more the financial side as you get larger, but primarily as you grow, the personal and business manager kind of go hand in hand. Agents, that can be a short or fleeting relationship depending on where you are in your career. They get paid off of exactly what they book. So that's what agents do. Most artists say they need a manager because they're looking to get booked. So they just want someone to sit and make phone calls for them and sell vacuum cleaners door to door. I'm aging myself, but that's what it's like. You know, if nobody knows you, you're on the phone trying to convince people to book somebody. And that is a thankless job that doesn't pay any money. So once you need an agent, or once you're at the point where you can use an agent, you don't need it anymore. So that's how agents work. So they'll come for you once, you know, because you're a moneymaker.
So let me ask you this. You've been in this game 2 decades.
Yes.
Right? What has been your worst experience in this industry?
I wouldn't say I've had any worst experiences. I think the misnomer is people think entertainers and celebrities are hard to deal with. And really at the core, the ones I've met, and I met a lot, thousands, they are very nice people, laid back, probably more regular than most. It's the hangers-on. Mm. It's the ones that want to be associated by any means necessary to an entertainer because they don't have their own base, who are hard to deal with and have an inflated sense of importance, you know? And so it's not really the entertainers themselves from my experience. So if I've ever had anything that was less than desirable, it was like probably someone who's, you know, on the outskirts of an entertainer, or not the actual entertainer themselves.
For those young people who are in college, let's mm-hmm. say college-age students here at Howard University, studying theater, like Chadwick Boseman here, and we see where he is now.
Yes.
Do you recommend higher education in terms of studying your craft, perfecting your craft on a college level, and does a degree help you in the entertainment industry?
It depends on what you're doing. I think if you have someone managing you, they either need to be really astute in business and negotiations, or they need to have a background in business. Some people don't have either, and they want to manage. I think that hidden talent doesn't necessarily mean academia. So it's not necessary that you have a degree, but I think that, you know, the more you learn about the industry from a business standpoint, even from reading, helps you, you know, so you can make better decisions.
She is Sharmell McMillan, president and CEO of Shartown Entertainment and author of Just One Thing. Sharmell will be at the MGM
National Harbor from 5:30 to 8 p.m. on Saturday. You can follow me on Instagram at Chartownent, Shartown ENT. And you can also, most of the information is there, or our website, Chartown.com, Char-Town.com.
Sharmell, thank you so much.
Thank you all
for calling in. We hope we helped you get your sort of self together to get into the entertainment industry. We'll be looking and listening for all of you. That's the Daily Drum on HR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, May 31st. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Up next, The Connection with Lorna Newton.